Hello, everyone, and I'd like to welcome you to the National Crime Prevention Council's Circle of Respect Book Club. I'm very excited today because we are joined by Richard Paul Evans, the author of Michael Vay, Prisoner of Cell 25, as well as many other things. So, Rick, I would like to thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So, well, we're just going to jump right in because I'm, as I said, really excited to give this interview. And you have such a history. Your books do so well, and you seem to always write in a way that connects with people and really resonates with the issues and struggles that they're facing, and resonates with children and adults. So, kind of to start off, what inspired you to begin writing in the first place, and particularly, how did you move towards writing Michael Vay?
Well, my first book was a little novella called The Christmas Box, and it was something I wrote for my then two young daughters. Didn't expect to publish it. I was working at an advertising agency, and it was something I just did on the side. That book, as soon as I finished it, I made 20 copies at Kinko's and handed them out, and it just spread. And it just grew bigger and bigger until now we're up to more than 8 million copies in print. And
wow.
That's what launched the career. I continued to write stories for adults, stories that dealt with issues that I thought were important, everything from suicide to even love stories. And I've been doing this long enough now that I'm getting more picky about what I write. And also, I want to write things that I just really enjoy. And I always thought someday I want to write a fantasy. I want to write something that kids can enjoy. And as I saw what was happening in the young adult genre, that it was getting darker and darker and more dystopian and more hopeless, I thought this is the time to do it. And so I just started writing Michael Vay, and I don't think anyone really thought it would do that well. But it debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's just spreading throughout the world. It's really exciting.
It really is exciting, and I have to say, you know, I picked it up and I said, well, let me check it out, let me read it, and that book just pulls you in. It really does. I mean, I was actually started reading it on a trip to Chicago, and I finished it in 2 days, and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that. So it is actually very wonderful, and I think one of the things that makes it so great is that it's so real. The conversations are real. The characters seem like someone that we know, and so, and particularly Michael Vay, he has his, you know, his strengths and his flaws, and he just seems like someone that you can really relate to. So, and can you talk a little bit about the development of Michael Vay and some of the other characters? Were they personal experiences entirely, or just a mix of experiences that you've had?
Well, I had a couple things that, and then when I approached the book, I wanted to be sure of. First of all, I very much dislike sitcoms and books where the adults are all idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more dysfunction can we handle? I mean, if you were to come from another planet and look at our libraries and read about our kids, you would think everyone is screwed up and dysfunctional. And it's like, no, most kids are doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And most kids do love their parents. And most adults are pretty decent people. And so I wanted to capture that. And that's why when you read it, it came across as realistic. Well, it is realistic. That's the way most people are. Michael has Tourette syndrome. I have Tourette syndrome, and my son, Michael, who I wrote the book for, he has Tourette syndrome. And so I wanted to take this kid who has some personal struggles, but he's a good kid. And I wanted to empower him, so I gave him special electrical powers. I gave him a sidekick, and kind of in the tradition of Frodo and Sam, you know, in The Hobbit, in The Lord of the Rings. I wanted to just build a kind of relationship between these two boys that was really healthy and strong. And I wanted to give Michael the girl, you know, the cheerleader he has a crush on. And so I guess I kind of vicariously lived out everything I wish happened to me when I was his age. But it was just fun writing. And, you know, that's really important. I mean, if I write a book that moves me, that makes me cry, I know that it will make hundreds of thousands of people around the world cry.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's just, if something is that real. This book was just fun. There are parts that scared me. There are parts that just, I laughed out loud. As I was writing it, there are parts I just couldn't stop writing. It's like, this is so much fun. And when you have that kind of passion for something, the readers feel it. They have the same experience I do. And I mean, I can't wait to get back to keep writing.
Oh, we can't wait either. And we'll ask you about that a little bit later. Another thing that really sort of grabbed me in the book is that there are so many different themes. You have, you know, courage, you have resiliency is what really came through for me. Even though he was faced with so many challenges, he always seemed to say, you know what, I can still sort of get up and keep going. And you talked about it a little bit just now in saying that, you know, all of our kids, they do love their parents, or they do care, and they do sort of want to fight the good fight. So why was it important for you to capture some of the themes of resiliency and hope and things like that?
Well, that's the one common thread through all my books is hope.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the beginning where we have a scene about bullying, Michael doesn't give up on the bully. And in fact, later on in the book, actually become friends. And it's extremely satisfying to read this. And he gets a glimpse into why Jack the bully acts the way he does. And so it's fun to watch, and it's fun to experience. But I love stories of redemption, whether it's The Christmas Carol or Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
It's stories where people can be the best that they can be. I think we need more stories like that, and I also think they're wildly satisfying. I think they're fun to read.
That's true, and he really does humanize the bully near the end. I think you're right in saying that, you know, sometimes it's just all black or white, but, you know, the characters have so many pieces to them, and I think it was great that how they were pulled out and you were able to see, you know, why somebody acted the way they were and see that people change or that their circumstances, you know, make them who they are, or, you know, they can be friends eventually. And I thought that was something that really was great to touch on in the book.
Sorry.
I know we're talking...
There's actually two bullies in the book, and no one ever talks about the second bully, Nichelle.
Yeah.
And Nichelle is sadistic. Nichelle, she's a bad person. I mean,
she was hard to like.
No one likes Nichelle. But she's different from Jack, and so it also helps differentiate. It's like Jack has the reasons he does what he does, and at one point Michael says, "I would probably be locking kids in lockers too if that had happened to me."
Mm-hmm.
So Nichelle has no excuse. She enjoys the power of hurting people.
Yeah. She.
And we see both. When we see both, you know, in society.
We do. So sort of switching gears here a bit, because this book is not, you know, although it's a fun read and it is something that's very engaging at the home. I wanted to talk a little bit about how this can be used in the classroom. A lot of the people listening are educators or teachers. So how can this be used in the classroom? How do you see this transitioning and into a teacher's classroom who wants to use this book to educate her students on some of the different, you know, themes that we've talked about or bullying behaviors or anything like that?
Oh, this is what the most exciting aspect of the book, I think. The letters I receive every single day and emails from teachers saying the effect it has had in their classroom. A few things. You have one area, you have one part of that you're just dealing with sheer literacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get boys to read these days.
Mm-hmm.
They're very distracted by video games. They are very bored. When they like a book, they really like it. But as teacher after teacher tells me, if you can get a boy to read, you've done something miraculous. Michael Vay gets boys to read. The teachers, every single teacher, every classroom we've tested, and before the book came out, we took it to 500 students in three different cities, and every teacher reported that their boys start reading. In fact, they reported to a teacher that it was the most popular book that had ever gone through their class, that they had boys coming before school so they could read, and everyone finished the book. And they just said, that has never happened in my entire career, 18 years. Every student in my classroom finished the book, and I had teachers and our parents calling me saying, what are the kids reading? I mean, my son is obsessed with this book. What is he reading? And so that's the first part. You got to get something. If you can't get the medicine down, it's not going to do him any good. And so it's something they like to read. But there's some really salient issues in the book that are really intriguing. And I've heard some of the really interesting discussions in classrooms about moral questions. Is this, what would you do if you were Tara or Taylor? I mean, you see these contrasts with these characters making decisions, and it's really getting kids to think.
Yeah.
So it was actually, when I finished the book, I gave a copy before it was published to my son's middle school teacher. She read the book. She said, I'll be back in a couple weeks. She read it in a day and a half. In fact, in 3 days, she read it twice. And she said, that book is so good. She goes, I want to take it to my classroom. She took it into the classroom, and she saw miracles. She saw students going from Fs to As, and that's not an exaggeration. Students who had never gotten a passing grade in anything, all of a sudden were getting good grades on tests because they knew the book so well. So she said she had such an incredible experience. She then sat down and built a curriculum for it. We sent it back with Simon & Schuster. They took it to their educational department. They fixed it all up, made it so it was something they could be used nationally. Then we took it to a homeschooling organization, and they created a homeschooling version of it. So we have a curriculum that's being used in public schools around America. We also have a curriculum that's being used in homeschools around America.
Yeah, and that is amazing, and I know that is a very extensive. You have the homeschool toolkit and the educator's guide on the Michael Vay website, and I really think that those tools just meet kids where they are. As you said a really good phrase about, you know, you can't get the medicine down, then they're not going to get the message. And this book really provides, I think, a platform that allows teachers to meet kids where they are and the issues that really concern them, but also in a way that they find enjoyable and they want to continue reading it.
Exactly. I was in Phoenix a few days ago, and I had a teacher who, she had taken to her fourth grade class, and I thought, that's a little young, because we had tested with seventh and eighth grade, but she had her fourth graders, and she reported that her students were playing Michael Vay at recess every day. And had been for several weeks. She goes, they had drawn pictures of Michael Vay all around the classroom. And when we talked about it, I said, well, the vocabulary is not easy. And in fact, the publisher had suggested we dumb it down a bit. And my direct publisher said, no, buy a dictionary. Mm-hmm. Which I appreciated. And what she said, she goes, you know, we ran into words they didn't know. She said that they were so into the book, it not only did it not stop them, but we would take that word, we would write it down, and then we would look it up. She said, by the end, we had this stack of words, and the kids were actually borrowing those words to write their essays and things. She said they're like using these words in the class that were ahead of them. And I thought, that's what education is about. You make it exciting and accessible.
Absolutely, and I do want to encourage our listeners really to really visit michaelvay.com and check out the homeschool toolkit and the educator's guide. It is filled with activities and lessons. I mean, it's really a great resource, and it's very lengthy, and so it's really comprehensive, I think, and that I think is going to be great when you want to think about incorporating it into your homeschool curriculum or your classroom. I think that would be an excellent resource to check out. So,
and Michael Vay is spelled, by the way, V-E-Y. We get that a lot.
Oh, do you?
Michael Vay, V-E-Y. The curriculum is free.
Yeah.
And so just go on. You can download it. And it's fun. It's been tested. It works very well. And enjoy.
Yeah. So I have to ask, because everyone is going to be curious, so what's next? What's next for you, and what's next for Michael Vay?
Well, I'm working on the follow-up right now, and boy, am I getting slammed with letters for that book. People don't want to wait a year.
I tried to put it nicely.
Yeah, it doesn't come until next August. It's called Rise of the Elgin, and it is a lot of fun. I'm having so much fun writing this book, as much fun, if not more, than the first one. It's also fun because I now have hundreds of thousands of kids following this, and who are, as one mother wrote me, my son is Michael Vay crazy. Give me something, please. Give me a bone to throw him. And so the next book, the group continues in their friendship and loyalty and continue to work together and try to save Michael's mother.
Great. Well, again, I want to thank you so much. And again, I want to just read the website for everyone. Please visit www.michaelvay.com for all the resources that we talked about today. And again, we look forward to hearing more, and hopefully you can come back and tell us about the second book when it comes out. And this is really just a great book, and we really appreciate you speaking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. And for this interview, and again, to learn more about Rick and some of his other books, we will have information about his books and everything, including Michael Vay, and a link to his website on our website at www.circleofrespect.org. Thanks again.